It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Pittsburgh-born playwright August Wilson is the subject of a new documentary produced by PBS in collaboration with WQED for the American Masters series. August Wilson, The Ground on Which I Stand, premieres Friday at 9 p.m. It was done in honor of the 70th anniversary of August Wilson's birth and the 10th anniversary of his death. The 90-minute film looks at Mr. Wilson's seminal 10-play cycle, chronicling each decade of the 20th century African-American experience, including the Tony Award and Pulitzer Prize-winning Fences and Pulitzer-winning The Piano Lesson. I'm joined now in Studio A by the program's executive producer, Daryl Ford Williams. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
And Disha Filya is manager of the August Wilson Education Project. She's also with us in Studio A. Good to have you with us, Disha.
Thanks, Paul.
You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Questions you might have about the life of August Wilson, about this documentary, how this project came together. 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM. On Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EP Live. Daryl Ford Williams, this project is a decade in the making. Talk about how it came to fruition.
Yeah.
Nearly a decade in the making.
Almost. It was about 8 years ago. It was after August Wilson's death, and at about the time that there was such excitement about building the August Wilson Center. And I wondered at that time if anyone had ever shared his story nationally. There was so much talk about his legacy and his start here in Pittsburgh and his rise to American stage notoriety. And when I realized that nothing had been done, I thought, who better to tell that story than our public media company, WQED?
And who are some of the people that are taking part in this show, some of the faces and voices that we'll see and hear?
You know, it's really amazing to know how many people got their start, people that you would know from television and from movies that are really very recognizable names, who found their voice, their theatrical voice, through August Wilson's work. They had not been able to do so before. So we're talking about luminaries like Viola Davis, Lawrence Fishburne, Felicia Rashad, the fabulous Felicia Rashad, Charles Dutton. James Earl Jones was kind enough to do an interview with us. So the list is long of people who were so forthcoming and willing to share their experience and their tribute to August Wilson.
When you think of the art of a project like this, and if maybe you use the analogy of a giant mound of clay, and as you approach this, because I mean, August Wilson has an enormous body of work, and his story of how he got to where he was and what informed his writing is truly incredible. I mean, his life story is a play in itself. So, you know, you got this big mound of clay. How are you shaping that? As you started to formulate your thoughts about how this would come together, what was going through your mind?
You know, there's always a plan. I always go into a production with a plan, but then there is the discovery, the serendipity of what you find along the way that makes for an even more interesting dynamic to the whole story. So I knew that I wanted to tell the story of the impact that his youth had on his development as a writer, the impact that dropping out of school had on his own intellectual curiosity and quest for information and education, and then how do you get started? How do you start to become a playwright? And so we wanted to tell all of those various chapters of his life. And then in the course of trying to gather that information, we learned from our scholarly advisors and from those that we interviewed about other aspects that we should tell. For instance, how August Wilson captured and wrote about female characters in his plays, what his writing process was like. Was it a linear process, or was it a kind of a building process that had fits and starts and you know, perhaps started in the middle and then the beginning developed as he went through the creation of a play? And so all of those elements about other aspects that weren't perhaps part of our original plan came together in a way that I think makes for a wonderful and whole story.
Disha Filya, with the August Wilson Education Center, when you think about the cycle, this 10-place cycle, and it happened in 20 years,
yes.
which means writing at just an incredible pace, do you imagine him – did he in fact envision the whole cycle as he sat down, you know, in the beginning? Was there some idea that he knew where he was going with all of this ultimately?
Not at the very beginning. Not at the beginning. And you'll notice in the way that he wrote the plays, the bookends, the first play chronologically and the last play chronologically were written last and at the end of his life. So initially, he did not start with this idea that he would be writing a 10-play cycle. And I think there's a real lesson in that for all of us, but also for young students, for young people especially, that you know, that amazing things can happen when you just write, when you just tell your story, that your stories and the stories of the people around you are really worth telling, and something extraordinary art can come out of that.
So when did it come to him? Because, I mean, it really became something that he was very determined to do, to the point where at the end of his life he knows that he's sick and he's dying, and he's realizing that I've got a limited amount of time to finish this, and by God, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think you can see it in the character of Aunt Esther. With Aunt Esther, you know, she's mentioned or appears in three of the 10 plays, and she is an archetype, and she represents really the elders in the community, and at the same time embodies African-American history, you know, our presence here in America. And so over time, you can see the evolution of that character. And so by the end of the cycle, you begin to see when Aunt Esther passes sort of the culmination there in the final play.
And this program, Disha, was created for a national audience. What do you think is important for the country to know about August Wilson, especially when many people are still in the process of discovering him?
Mm-hmm. 9 of the 10 plays are set in Pittsburgh's Hill District. And so he chose this very specific place that he knew, but the themes are really universal, you know, whether it's about honor or betrayal or love or justice. And so regardless of where you are, whatever your backyard is, and literally one of the plays, Seven Guitars, is set in his mother's backyard, that we're all encountering these questions about our lives. So I think the significance for anyone around the nation is that the stories in your backyard are worth telling.
We're talking about a new documentary about the life of August Wilson. August Wilson, The Ground on Which I Stand. It premieres this Friday at 9 p.m. You can see it, of course, here in Pittsburgh. Where else but WQED-TV? But it's part of a national broadcast on PBS. And we're talking about the collaboration that occurred here and talking about that with the executive producer of the program, Daryl Ford Williams. Also with us is Disha Filya, manager of the August Wilson Education Project. We certainly welcome your comments at 412-246-2002. That is the number to call if you want to join the conversation, 412-246-2002. Daryl Ford Williams, talk about the collaboration here. There's this marvelous entity out of New York, WNET, which I guess is pretty much the flagship of the network, of the PBS network. And so here you are. Which came first? Did the idea come from WQED or did it come from the PBS folks?
No, it came from WQED.
I figured that was the answer.
Proudly, I'll take credit for it. It came from me. And so I approached PBS, and you know, you have to see if anybody else is working on a project like this. And I asked, and they said, no, not right now. I asked them to please pencil my name by it so that if any other PBS station came forward with plans to work on it, they would know that WQED has already embarked on an initiative. And then they suggested, you know, a perfect place for this would be with American Masters. It is the long-standing collection of the stories of notable people in the arts in particular. And so I reached out to the executive producer of American Masters, and she agreed that this was one that she was very much interested in having as a part of the series, and we agreed to work together. American Masters is housed at WNET, which is one of the larger producers in the PBS system, and so they became our partners, And we're really proud to have August Wilson's story lifted up to the level of an American master's work.
And really, you know, WQED was an integral part of this whole process, not just the germination of your idea, but the fact that it's in Pittsburgh. And this is August Wilson's home. 9 of his 10 plays, as Disha just explained, are based in the Hill District where he grew up. How important was it for you to bring local voices to this story, including people like Christopher Rawson, who's the local drama critic for the Post-Gazette? He plays a prominent part in this.
He does. Christopher is able to give us really a fine understanding of why his work is so significant in American theater and what it is about the nature of his plays that caught the attention of those who had not had an opportunity to witness a real African-American voice that August Wilson brought to the stage. So Christopher was important to add in here. We were really grateful for the opportunity to talk to a number of people in Pittsburgh who had firsthand knowledge of him, childhood friends, family members. And I think that adds to a full understanding of why his Pittsburgh story is so significant in his development.
And one of those family members that we hear from is his sister, who tells a very compelling and heart-wrenching story about August Wilson's experiences as a young school student. And we have a clip from the show in which this sister of August Wilson's describes what he went through in school. And I'd like to offer a warning that the follow-up clip does contain language that more sensitive listeners might find offensive. Let's listen.
Every day when he went to school, it was the 9th grade, he found a note on his desk. "Nigger, go home." Every single day.
I can recall a particular incident where the guy in front of me in my homeroom class made reference to this nigger behind him, to the other guy. And when we said the Pledge of Allegiance and when we ended with liberty and justice for all, I let him have it. And that was, I recall, my last day at school, at that school. I didn't want my mother to know that I wasn't going to school. So I thought, oh, I know what, I'll go to the library. So I got up every morning and I went to the library and I came home at 3 o'clock, time to come home from school. And no one knew any different.
And that is a clip from the episode of this American Masters series, August Wilson, The Ground on Which I Stand. Again, it premieres on Friday at 9 o'clock on PBS. Disha Filya, obviously a very gripping part of this documentary that we just heard. Talk about this incredible episode of August Wilson's life, this crossroads where he decides, you know what? I'm not going to put up with his abuse anymore. But he's clearly a young man who's thirsting for knowledge. So he finds his own way. He basically educates himself, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And I think it speaks to his resourcefulness and his resilience. And that's one of the reasons that his life is so inspirational and has so much to say to young people about investing in their own learning. And not letting obstacles stand in their way, and that not only can they survive, but they can really thrive and do and achieve wonderful things.
What does it also say, though, about August Wilson? A lot of kids that drop out of school find nothing but trouble, maybe alcohol, drugs. Sure. Those things were around when he was a kid, but he made this choice that I'm going to educate myself, and clearly he had a passion to fulfill. So there was something very unique about him.
One of the things he did that's so critical is he listened. He was in the community. He was in lots of places in the community, but how did he spend that time? And he spent it listening to the elders. He spent it learning and gathering those voices. And we learn in the documentary that it was some years later that those voices came back to him in the form of characters. And then from those characters, he created his scenes. And from his scenes, the plays came forth. And I think the lesson there is taking the time to listen and, again, finding it within the people that you're with. And so, you know, who you choose to associate with does matter. And he liked ordinary people, and those are the voices that he captured.
Daryl Ford Williams, we heard in that clip the voice of August Wilson. This documentary, as we've discussed, has been produced and made since his passing. So where does that interview come from?
That is an archival interview, you know, because he was a Pittsburgher. WQED had a wealth of archival material on August Wilson, and we were also able to find interviews from other sources, from repertory theaters where he had done interviews, from 60 Minutes, from news sources, and we mined all of those sources to give August Wilson a voice in his own story. And that's really a gift when you have the ability to include the subject's own voice in their story.
What was striking to you about his voice? For me, I came away with – because his – the words jump off the pages of his plays. And so the first time I heard him speak, I was struck by how soft-spoken and introspective he is. What did you take away from, you know, watching all of this archival footage and listening to his voice?
You know, I want to take you back to a thought that Disha shared, and that was about his sense of himself and what was appropriate for him or intolerable for him. And I think that's what I continued to hear in his voice. He defined himself. And you could always hear that sense of self-confidence. And when you think about a kid who was constantly berated because of racial issues, the way that he was, the way that was described as his school experience, to still be able to have that sense of self and purpose and a creative goal. That's what I always heard in August Wilson. He was always a poet. He was always thoughtful. He was always very much aware of language.
Daryl Ford Williams is executive producer of August Wilson, The Ground on Which I Stand. Also with us, Disha Filya, manager of the August Wilson Education Project. 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Let's go to Cassandra in La Trobe. Cassandra, welcome to the show.
Hi. I've been watching PBS specials, and I want to make a comment about the displacement when the Housing Authority came into the Hill and took over the property. I just thought that was really sad, and I believe August Wilson lived at that time, and I just wondered if, you know, they had any comment on that.
Well,
and also, the Stevie Wonder show the other night I thought was so wonderful, and at the end of it, he got up and said, you know, why can't we just love each other? I love everybody. And, you know, I don't know why we can't.
You know, in one of August Wilson's plays, and you'll see some of this reflected in the documentary, he does capture that notion of eminent domain when he talks about changes in the neighborhood, in the Hill District. So that's very much – that was very much part of what he had on his mind when he told stories about the Hill District.
Cassandra, thank you for that call and that question. 412-246-2002 is our number. One thing that occurs to me, and as I was watching the documentary, one of the hardest things that I always hear from people that produce documentaries is trying to edit it down, to pare down the material. So, Daryl, what was it like trying to get all this material into a 90-minute show? It sounds like a lot of time, but it really isn't.
Yeah, it really isn't. And by the time you look at story start to story end without credits and funder acknowledgments and all those things that aren't part of the actual storytelling, you're really down to about 84 minutes. And the first pass that we did in the rough cut, we had a really great two-hour show.
Why didn't they just give you 2 hours? Some of those episodes are 2 hours, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can go 2 hours, but there are implications in extending that amount of time, and largely there are budget implications. And so we have a really, I think, an even better, tighter 90-minute, okay, 84-minute program. But, you know, there's some things that you want to look at and say, do you really love that, or is it a tighter story if you take that out? So that's where we are, and I'm extremely pleased with it.
Disha, you know, there's so many interesting aspects of August Wilson's life and the fact that he was self-educated. Mm-hmm. We've got about a minute or so left here. Okay. But this idea that he, you know, kids are always being encouraged to stay in school and mm-hmm. you know, follow the example of others who, you know, had a formal education.
Sure.
Here was a man who didn't and accomplished great things. So mm-hmm. how do you deal with that sort of mixed message there?
Sure. I've gone into schools and we've talked about that, and we talk about how people who are our inspirations or our role models, that we have the benefit of choosing the aspects of their lives that work for us, you know, and certainly there are successful people who did stay in school. And so, you know, in looking at August Wilson's work and students look at his life, and to achieve the kinds of things he did may not require someone to leave school. You know, there may not be the same kinds of pressures, but the idea of finding their voice, that may be the thing that resonates with them, or feeling that their story matters, that may be the piece that resonates with them. Or for students who share, you know, August Wilson was biracial, and that component where he did find himself not, you know, fully in one world or the other. So just asking and encouraging students to identify those parts of his story that really resonate with them.
Disha Filyaz, manager of the August Wilson Education Project. We've also been talking here with Daryl Ford Williams. She's executive producer of the episode of the American Masters series, August Wilson, The Ground on Which I Stand. It premieres Friday at 9 p.m. on PBS stations all over the country, including, of course, WQED. Ladies, thank you so much for being here. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. We're out of time. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.